Yeah, we have incredible things that go on with children, and that one is the Wednesday night. But obviously, it's going on this morning, too. It's pretty neat. We've got a group of folks here that they live and eat and breathe the children all week long as they prepare for them. It's pretty neat. Hey, if you've got a Bible, turn to Genesis 37. Better if you had the app, just go ahead and push the button, because we're going to be in a lot of different places today. And we're finishing up this series, although we finished up the story of Joseph last week. And it's been a pretty amazing look when you've taken a look at not only the story of Joseph, basically Genesis 37 through 50. Genesis 50 is taken up with Joseph's story. And the reason so much of it is there, it's not just for us to learn things about his story, but it's that God has written, if you will, a story in the story. There are pictures, there are symbols in Joseph that happened in reality in Joseph's life that obviously point us to who Christ is. So you're going to see that today. We're going to look at it in a different way today. I'm going to cover some things I've already talked to you about, but we're going to look at from beginning to end. We're mainly looking at the story within the story. I want you to see the parallels in the picture of the difference that God made in Joseph's life, but how that symbolizes what God was going to do. I have found that if you want to know who God is, there's plenty of opportunities. As I like to say, and you'll hear me say probably a couple more times, I think you know as much about God as you want to know. Because the scripture says, if you seek him, you'll find him. And so much about who he is found in his word. It's there if you want to see it. And so this has kind of been, so we're going to kind of go from one end to the other. I've entitled this, The Gospel According to Joseph. Okay, The Gospel According to Joseph. Because, you know, we talk about the word gospel means good news. And we have the gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to Mark, Luke, and John. But it is as clear in Joseph's life as it is anywhere. And I want you to see it. I want you to see how it looks. And so we're going to be flying through a lot of these things. We've taken, believe it or not, we've taken 15 weeks to go through Joseph's life. It's been wonderful, by the way. We've taken 15 weeks. And so if this is your first day, you're going to feel like you're getting a drink from a fire hydrant, right? You're just going to feel like, wow, do they always go this way? Because we've taken this long to go through all of it, so now we're going to take a look at the big picture. And so we're going to fly from one end to the other. But with the main goal today of you seeing the story. Now, when I start out, we're seeing the story within the story. So when I start out, even in the first couple of things I'm going to tell you, I'm just setting it up. So I need you to go ahead and listen. In fact, I even need you to think, okay, all right. I kind of see where he's going there, but let me just hang on. Because when you begin to see its entirety, it really paints a pretty amazing picture. And my goal today is for you to go, oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Again, we've shared some of these things along the way, but I'm going to reshare some of them in a bigger picture look. That's the thought for today. Okay, so if you like to take notes, then you can just chart along with me. And we're going to be talking about Joseph's life and its comparisons to who Jesus is. And so hang on. Number one is what I'm going to call the beloved son. The beloved son in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1. It says that Jacob lived in the land, right, of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. Skip down to verse 3. It says, now Jacob loved Joseph more than all of the rest, okay? Because he was the son of his old age. So Joseph was the beloved son. He was the favorite. He was the one that was really close. And obviously he made him a robe of many colors. So you have this picture here of what I'm just going to call a beloved son. In fact, you have the same picture with Jesus' baptism and in other places when God, the Father, would say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So keep charting with me here with this picture. Because I want you to see that the Father loved Joseph. And so obviously you have a picture of the Father loving Jesus too. Obviously Joseph too was obedient. Joseph, you know, when you take a look at the scriptures, the reason I really love the scriptures is they share the characters and the stories, and it's the heroes usually have everything listed about them, their successes and their failures. But you take a look at Moses or Abraham or David, and it includes all the flaws and the problems. But you know, Joseph is not saying that anything that Joseph was sinless. He was not, because the scripture teaches that all of us are sinners. But I want you to know that there is no sin listed for Joseph. There are only two people other than Jesus in the entire Bible that's true. And the other one is Daniel. But Joseph is presented as someone who was obedient to his father and what his father asked him to do, and to do what his father wanted him to do, even to his own peril, even to what it caused jealousy and hatred among his brothers. Also, Joseph knew that he would rule. You can look down in the Genesis 37 passage, and Joseph had the dreams. Again, I'm just going to bring these things up. We're not going to go into them again because we've already talked about them. That's why if this is your first week, you're just getting things. But I want you to see the comparisons. And so, but Joseph had the dreams that he would one day rule, and he unwisely shared them with his brothers, and that caused them to hate him all the more. But even Jesus, you know, Jesus, when he was just a boy, we had that snapshot when he was 12, I believe, and said that he knew. He said, wouldn't I be in my father's house, about my father's business? And so Jesus knew who he was and what he was going to do. Now, here's the great picture. In this symbolism, this is what you need to see. Because Joseph's story happened in life. But as we were talking about this past Wednesday night, it's pretty neat. I do just a verse-by-verse study, usually through the book of the Bible. We're in John now. And it's just incredible to do that. This past week, we were at that point when Pilate looked at Jesus, and Jesus looked back at Pilate. Pilate asked him questions. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world," Jesus says, "then my followers would be fighting." So there's something else. But the parallel with Joseph is uncanny, as you'll see in just a minute. And so I encourage you that at times, if you ever have times to come on Wednesday or to watch online live streaming. You know, I was amazed this past week. We find out, I've got to remember to say hello and to conclude all of our live streaming. I don't know if you realize, but in this service here, we have more people watching live streaming than we do here, which is amazing to me. So anyway, it's good to see you guys. All right. Miss you. You need to be here. Okay. But as you take a look, and think then about the beloved son and who he would be, I want you to think about number two. Not just the beloved son, but number two is what I'm going to call the suffering servant. This is a theme throughout the scriptures. The suffering servant of who he would be and what he would be doing. Isaiah chapter 53 really goes into detail about the one who's coming, who would be the suffering servant. See, I want you to understand that the parallels are not only in Joseph's life, but they're pretty much in everything throughout the Old Testament. And they all point to who Christ is and what he came to do. And so you have the suffering servant picture. You have underneath that, you have number one, you have obviously a servant that is sent by his father. Now this is interesting. When you think about this picture, it says in chapter 37, verse 12, it says, "Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel, that is Jacob, said to Joseph, 'Are you not are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them.' And he said, 'Here I am,'" which is all very symbolic. So Joseph was sent to his brothers. And then when you take a look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says there that God loved us, and in that love, that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. So you have this picture of one who is sent, but also not only one who is sent, but one who is hated by his brothers, We have that picture in Joseph's life, and his brothers, keep tracking with me. Okay, I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but it'll all slow down in a minute, and it'll all come together. Okay, so hated by his brothers. We don't have to really share with you that. That's found in chapter 37 and verse 4. But also it says in Isaiah 53:3, it says he was despised. That is, the one who was to come, that is, whom Christ is, was going to be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So you have this picture then throughout the Old Testament of this picture of God's telling a story and the story within a story. In Isaiah, I want you to understand that Isaiah 53 was written 700 years before Jesus was born. But when you take a look at Joseph's story, it was some 1,800 to 2,000 years. Many believe as many as 2,500 years before Jesus was born. So you're looking, this is what makes what I'm talking about today so incredible. It's down through the ages, over hundreds and hundreds of years that the scriptures were written. And it all points to the same thing. It all tells the same story for those who have ears to hear, for those who want to know. It's there if you want to see it. Okay? So it goes on to talk about this picture then of this suffering servant sent by the father, hated by the brothers, and then made to suffer. Okay? You have at the end there that it says here is that, and as one, back in Isaiah 53, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So you have this servant, right, that's going to suffer, and that's going to be afflicted, and it's going to be on our behalf somehow. Okay, keep tracking with me. So you have then this picture in Joseph's life of his brothers conspiring against him. You know, the father sent Joseph to them. They saw him coming. They got together and said, you know, let's kill him, you know. Boy, that's when hatred is taking full bloom, when they're going to kill him, their own brother. And so they decide not to kill him, right? They decide to obviously to sell him. So they took him, they stripped his coat. There's something else. If you take a look at the story of Christ, stripped his coat, threw him in a pit, pulled him out, and they sold him to a traveling group of slave traders heading to Egypt. And Judah was the ringleader, and Judah sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, which obviously Judas was the one who sold Jesus, betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. We've talked about that, but again, I want you to see the beloved son. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I want you to see the servant and then the suffering that came with that. And as you see in Joseph's life, he was sold into slavery and eventually was made his way all the way to Egypt and was again sold again and spent this time in some really tough times where he just, for 13 years we've talked about, he went through a whole lot of problems between slavery and prison. None of it was his fault. And yet he was there because of the sins of his own brothers. Again, if you're tracking with me, just keep tracking, okay? So then you have this picture then. Obviously, it's the same thing that happened to Jesus. And it was basically a son made a servant. This is Matthew chapter 20. In verse 27 and 28, it says this, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So obviously Jesus himself came as a role of a servant. And so you see as the Son, the beloved Son who is made a servant and suffers, that's the main thing I want you to see up to this point. All right, but keep tracking along with me. Number three is what I'm going to call the exalted ruler. The exalted ruler. Let's just again just read some of the scriptures verses, and then we will jump into it. Take a look in chapter 41 and verse 39 of Genesis. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house. All my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater than you. What is it about this story? You got this kid, brother, beloved son, sold into slavery and suffered. And listen to this. Through his sufferings, God exalted him to an extremely high position of authority. And so you have this picture that it was through his suffering that he was put in a position that he might make a difference in his own family's life. But it's ironic that his own family were the ones who actually put him there. And so you have then this picture of exalted. You know, I have obviously put kind of my heart and soul into this little series through the summer. And now I'm seeing Joseph's stories everywhere I read. And because obviously that's what Jesus did. And it's interesting. In Philippians chapter 2, I really believe with all my heart that Philippians chapter 2 was written, Paul wrote it. I think it was written after he read Joseph's story. And then compared it to who Jesus is. See if you don't agree with me. Read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We're going to spend a few minutes on this. There's some things I don't want you to miss. It says, have this mind among yourselves. What does that mean? Mindset. That is, get your mind right. Have this mindset among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, you already have it, but get your mind there. Okay, continue to read. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. We've talked about this. This all explains about who Jesus is. Because as I've told you many times, who Jesus is of utmost importance of being able to do what he did. If you're going to be exalted to a position to be able to do something incredible, you're going to have to get there. In fact, you'll see it all in just a minute. It said, though, so equality with God was not something to be grasped or attained. In other words, it was already his. That's the whole thought we're going to be talking about in a few months at Christmas time. Emmanuel, God with us. That is what makes Christmas so incredible. It's not that just a baby was born. It's just that not a great person was born. It was because of who he was. God with us, Emmanuel. So you have this picture that equality with God was not something that had to be grasped. Look at this. It says, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. So he came with a purpose. Jesus did. He came with a purpose, lowered himself, emptied himself, either translation will work, and became a servant, took the role of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And it says, in being found in human form, he humbled himself. He humbled himself in the form of a servant. Don't miss this. And it says, becoming obedient even to the point of death, even death on the cross. So this servant, this lower himself servant, became a servant that would one day suffer. Okay? So if you're charting along with this together, it's a remarkable thing to me. Became obedient. And Joseph wound up being one of the most obedient. I mean, everywhere he went, we've talked about this through the weeks, everywhere he went, whether he was a slave, he was going to be the best slave he could be. Whether he was going to be a prisoner, he was going to be the best prisoner he could be. He was who he was because of the picture that God is painting here. Now, so what happened? What happened? By the way, you know, we talked about there are practical applications, but then there are what we call spiritual applications. The practical application is if God's going to raise you up to a certain level of authority, he usually is going to get you ready for it so that you can handle it. Very few people can handle high positions of authority. In fact, I have found that most people who want to be in authority, you don't want them in authority. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The more they want it, the less you want them. I'm here to tell you. It's the ones who see their positions to serve others are the ones you want there. The ones who just want to be in charge, I'm here to tell you, avoid them like the plague. All right? Not all of them, but I would say the greater majority. So anyway, sorry, that's another message for now. Got off track. All right, so again, God was going to do this in him. Now, look at this next piece. Therefore, as I've told you many times, when you're reading the Bible and you see the word therefore, you always stop and ask what it's there for. All right, why is the therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? So when you look at it, it's basically saying because Jesus was who he was, because he humbled himself, because he took the role of a servant, because he became obedient and suffered to the point of death, death on the cross, God has highly exalted him. Are you charting with me? Joseph took the low road, servant suffering, and through that, God exalted him to a position of authority that he might make a difference in his family's life. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, that is Jesus, and bestowed on him a name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee bow, every tongue confess, okay, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that Jesus is Lord, all right, to the glory of God the Father. So I find this incredible. I mean, you know, right? You know that Joseph, when he was highly exalted, remember the symbolism? I mean, Pharaoh gave him that brand new Mercedes chariot, right? And he was riding right ahead. And Pharaoh commanded all the Egyptians, when you see that chariot coming, I don't care what you're doing, you stop and bow. That's who Joseph is going to be. Now, this guy just not many days earlier was a prisoner. And yet God, therefore, through the humility, through the servant nature, through the suffering, God exalted him and gave him a name, which is above every name. That at that name, right? Knees will bow, tongue confess. So you have this picture. It's pretty amazing. You know, I guarantee you probably don't remember this, but when Joseph moved into Pharaoh's court, Joseph is a Hebrew name. It's Yosef, and Yahshua is, they're similar, which is Jesus, right? And so we don't even have time to talk to you about all that. But I mean, guys, there's so much here. I could talk for weeks on the parallels. So don't write me a letter and say, hey, you forgot to mention. I know I did. All right, there's a lot more. I'm just hitting the highlights in a big picture so you can see this. But if you remember back, is that Pharaoh gave Joseph a new name, an Egyptian name. And probably nobody remembers it because we didn't talk about it very much. But the name was Zaphnath-Paneah. Yeah, how would you like to be that? All right, Zaphnath-Paneah. It's an Egyptian word, right? And you know what it means? The Zaphnath-Paneah is one who saves or preserver of life. Well, you understand why Pharaoh would have named him that. Because look what he did. For those of you who have ears to hear, God has put this whole thing together. So therefore, God has highly exalted him and give him a name. See, I must believe this passage here in Philippians is a direct parallel to Joseph's story. And it's parallel to who Jesus is. Therefore, God has exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. That is the one who can make the difference in my life. In all of our lives. You know, so obviously, you can take a look at it, and when the Egyptians all ran out of food, and they went and they cried, Pharaoh said, go see Joseph, and Joseph opened up everything and began to feed them. And it began to be really an amazing thing when you see it, all right? Number four, and we're gonna get this down and finish this up. But number four is what I'm going to call the forgiving Savior. You know, to be in the place that Joseph was, pretty remarkable. You can forgive anybody, but you have to be in a position to be able to extend grace to them. Because in order to change a life, you've got to have the power to change a life. And because of what he was exalted to, it gave him the power to change their life. If you're double tracking with me. Okay? If you're double tracking with me. So, one of the most emotional, dramatic moments in all of the Old Testament, one of my favorite verses, but it needs explanation, is in chapter 45, verse 3. When he looks at his brothers, okay, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Now, you have to understand, up to that point, you know, food had run out. Joseph had been 7 years. He'd stored all the grain up. 2 years into the famine, their food had run out. So now they're standing in front of them. They don't recognize him. And so he speaks roughly to them, but not for his benefit, but for theirs. And he wants to see who they become. In fact, he would speak roughly to them, run out of the room and go cry, get himself back together and come back and speak roughly to them again. So it wasn't about Joseph, it was about them. And so he was at work in their life, but it was at this point right here, okay, when he revealed himself to them. I am Joseph, Anna Yosef. I am Joseph. And it says there, he says, my father's still alive. And it says, but the brothers couldn't answer him, says there, because they were dismayed at his presence. Okay, dismayed is not a great translation. Terrified is the correct translation. Well, and they should be. Think about it. They're standing there. And they're staring at the second most powerful man in the world at that time. In fact, Joseph could have done anything he wanted to them because of his position of authority. And I find it interesting because he says, my father's still alive. And then Joseph looks at him and says, okay, come near, please. And they came near to him, right? And then he began to talk to them about all of what had happened, right? Can you go to the next verse? And he goes, he says, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt. And he goes on to explain, don't be distressed or angry with yourselves, incredible, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Okay, this is interesting. Think about this. So these brothers, all of their families, had a death sentence on their life. I mean, if after 2 years you don't have any food and there's going to be five more, they're toast. They've got no hope. They're just trying to stay alive. And then God, all right, in this particular instance, Joseph, but God through Joseph, reveals his plan of how to save their lives. By three words in our language, I am Joseph. That was God's plan. Many people today call it the plan of salvation. And it's none more beautiful than in the story of Joseph. A picture of it. The plan of salvation. In other words, God had been working long times, lots of years on this plan. And now it was all revealed and it hit these brothers like a ton of bricks. At first they were scared, but then after Joseph reassured them, then they understood that God had done all of this for them. For those of you who have ears to hear. So you have this picture, right? You have this picture. You know, it says in Colossians, it says, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, uncircumcision of your flesh, therefore you were dead, right? A death sentence. God made alive together with him. Therefore, because of God's revelation of Jesus being his plan, same way Joseph revealed himself to them, right? He has forgiven us of all our trespasses. I want you to understand this is incredible. So don't, you know, you don't have to, you know, God made us alive together. Therefore, because of who Jesus is, he was able to do for them what they needed. Because of who Joseph is, prime minister, in charge, he could do for them what they needed, what they couldn't do for themselves. And so God puts this incredible story that if you're just reading casually, you're thinking, oh, that's a pretty cool story. But if you're not looking for what he's saying, do you want to know? I found that people know as much about God as they want to know. Because it's there for those to see if you want to see it. Okay? Jesus, I mean, Joseph kind of told them, you know, he says, you don't have to be afraid here. Chapter 50 of Genesis, verse 21. I'm going to provide for you and your little ones. Then he covered them and he spoke kindly to them. I want you to know, just want you to think about some of these things. I think about some of these things because in reality, the picture here is that we are in the brother's place, right? Can you imagine a brother of Joseph that make this statement? I can imagine they probably all made it. I don't know where I would be if Joseph didn't love me so much. Ever thought about that? I don't know where I'd be if Joseph didn't love me so much. I've heard people today say it. Not Joseph. They just put the name Jesus in there, right? I don't know where I'd be today if Christ hadn't made the difference in my life. If you haven't heard anybody say it, I'll say it. Because I don't know where I'd be today if Christ hadn't made a difference in my life. I knew where I was headed. See, some of you know I didn't become a believer until I was 21. I knew where I was headed. I knew what I was doing. But I don't know where I'd be today if Christ hadn't loved me so much. That's the picture here, right? I don't know. To me, it's really amazing when you think about forgiveness and grace. You know, forgiveness can be offered. Okay, guys, I'm not going to hold your sin to you anymore, but I'm not giving you any food. You can give forgiveness without grace. Grace is incredible, but when you put the two together, it is amazing. Is it not only what he did for his brothers, but they none of them deserved it. That's why anytime anybody gets a picture of grace, they can't exactly understand why. It's amazing. Amazing grace. I ought to write a song. But when you truly look at it, it's incredible to think about God's story, but it's told and retold so that down through the ages, it's all pointing toward the same thing, something that was going to happen with who Jesus is and what he came to do. Therefore, it becomes this picture. Now, I'm going to close with some things to learn. Really going to close the whole series. But I don't want you to miss some of these. Now, everything I'm about to tell you, if you've been in church any of your life, you've heard all of these statements, and they will almost sound like rhetoric because you've heard them so many times. But the way I want you to look at them is not the way you've heard them, but I want you to look at them in light of who Joseph is in the picture of who Christ is. And I think it'll mean incredible things to you. Number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Anybody in the room ever heard that statement before? All right, raise your hand if you've heard that statement before. All right, yeah. Well, that's those of you that have been in church a lot. That just is, that's, man, that's 101 in sharing your faith. Did you know that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? But really, can you see yourself as one of Joseph's brothers and say, I don't know where I'd be if Joseph didn't love me? I just don't know where I'd be. Well, they'd be dead in the desert of Canaan, for one. But when you compare that to who Jesus is, it begins to make sense. But also, there's a plan there that doesn't need to be missed. And the plan mirrors the one in Joseph of how God was going to use a son, a beloved son, make him a servant, cause him to suffer, exalt him, and allow him to make a difference in their lives. Same thing. Number two, Jesus suffered on your behalf, okay, for your sins, so that you could live and have a relationship with God. I want you to put Joseph in there. Therefore, Joseph suffered. Joseph suffered in order that he could make a difference in their lives later. That's what he said, right? Joseph looked at him and says, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good. Interesting. Interesting. Number three, forgiveness, grace, and provision for your needs has all been offered to you. Think about Joseph first. These boys, destitute, their whole family, destitute, descendants. And then Joseph shows up and offers not only forgiveness, but grace and provision. And guys, I'm here to tell you, that's why I call it the gospel according to Joseph. That's good news. That's good news. That's why you can say it, because it's not just gospel, it's not some sacred religious word. It just means good news. That's why I could call this the gospel according to Joseph, because the picture is good news for the brothers anyway, for their families. They had no hope without Joseph. And all of the other parallels that put all this together. Number four, and finally, you need only trust him. Jesus, that is. And in this particular case, you need only trust Joseph. Remember when he talked to him, he said, listen, here's what I want you guys to do. You just need to trust me. I'm going to take care of everything. I want you to go home. And once you get all your family, leave all your old junk there, right? Remember we talked about that? Leave all your old junk, you get all new stuff. Have you ever heard the verse that says he's made everything new? I can tell you, we could go on and on and on. It's amazing. Okay? Once you leave all your junk, and remember what else he told him? And don't quarrel along the way. Listen to me, believers, if you're a believer here today, stop quarreling among each other over things that don't matter. Now, we're going to have conflicts, we're going to have differences, but take Joseph's advice, which I think is really the picture of Jesus here, is just stop. Okay, just stop. Because when you consider what Christ, Joseph, has done for you, what else is comparable? If you understand what I'm talking about. Therefore, you need only trust him by grace through faith. That becomes the picture. Joseph offered them. All they had to do is trust it. They couldn't earn it, right? They couldn't deserve it. They definitely didn't deserve it. And so there's no clearer picture of the gospel, good news, than there is in the life of Joseph. Like I say, if this is your first Sunday, you probably felt like you've just gotten a drink from a fire hydrant, like I said earlier. But if you've been here a long way, I encourage you to go back and reread the story of Joseph and see through all of these things with the eyes, with the glasses on of the parallel. It's pretty remarkable. As I close, okay, as I close. Guys, obviously the picture here today, along with all of you that are at home, the question is, has there ever been a time in your life you've trusted Christ? You've heard that said before, but now you may understand it a little bit better. Guys, that's why you'll hear me say all the time, no church owns this message. There's no denomination, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. There's nobody that owns this message. It's God's message to you, and it's been told and retold throughout the scriptures long before denominations even existed. And it's his message. And as I've said before, guys, I've never been loyal to any denomination unless they stay consistent to what God's word teaches. Not even the one we're in. I'll drop them like a hot potato if they ever get off track. Yeah. Why? Because I'm not a loyal one of them. I'm committed to what the scriptures teach. Why? Because in the scriptures is the good news. And it's very simple. You don't have to jump through hoops. What could these brothers do to earn Joseph's love? Zero. You have to trust it. That's it. And we'll have to trust you here. It's an incredible thing to think about. I've got to stop or I'll start another message, right?